everyone, welcome to the Travel Podcast. My name is Hayley Sparks and it's so nice to have your company. Here we talk about our favourite subject, it is travel, and we always have some brilliant guests that we bring to you who share their travel tips, stories, hidden gems and all of that inspiration. And today we have a very dynamic lady. Her name is Gemma Bolt and she's an actress, she's a presenter, a DJ and a businesswoman. So there is plenty to dive into. Gemma, welcome to the Travel Podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
We are so excited to have you here. Wow, you are a busy lady. There is so much going on. For anybody that hasn't come across you yet, can you just tell us a little bit more about all these amazing, exciting things that you do?
Yeah, I'm basically a jack of all trades, like master of none. So just a little dabble into the acting world, presenting, radio, DJ, and then I have a couple of businesses, which is Discolicious. That's my events brand that I do with Denise Van Outen. So we do brunches and club nights up and down the country and also internationally now. And then I also have a company called Bang Tidy Styling, which supplies a pool of creative talent to the sort of commercial film industry. So we look after hair and makeup artists, set designers, anything you need really, just come to me.
That's actually how we met, isn't it, Gem?
It is. I was going to say that. That's how we met.
Yeah, gosh.
And you were brilliant.
Oh, bless you. Well, I lose track of how many years ago that was now, but it's so
many years ago.
It really is. But it's
good 10.
At least I know we've been friends for a decade. It's so lovely. But what I think I'm noticing now more than ever before is how many men and women especially like you that do have these multifaceted careers, and I love that, because for some people they have that job or that career path and they stick in it and they become that real sort of expert in that field. But now there are so many opportunities to diversify. You don't necessarily have to stick to one lane, so to speak. You can have talents across lots of different areas, and I think you've always been so good at embracing that and doing all these different things.
Oh, thank you. Well, I just think in our industry it's good to have as many strings to your bow as you can. And I think when I was younger, I always got told, especially going through drama school, you have to be one thing and you have to focus on one thing. And actually that's not true, because I think the more, you know, you can add into your skill set, the better. Because I mean, I don't want to bring up the dreaded like pandemic, but when that happened, you know, film studios and commercials and everything completely shut down. Whereas at that point in time, I was doing a lot of voiceover work and I had a home studio set up. So I was able to continue working and I was able to continue managing talent as well for social posts and, you know, influencers, that kind of thing. So I think the more things you can do, the better. Sometimes it is a juggle and sometimes you'll find that one area is busier than the other. But, you know, they're all things that complement each other.
Yeah, there is so much crossover. And we haven't mentioned that you're a mother of two as well. So.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, that thing, that job.
So, I mean, just how do you manage it all? But you do, and it's wonderful. And I think because you are so passionate about your work and you enjoy it so much, hopefully that makes the sort of busy schedule easier to digest.
Yeah, and also I want to be a good role model for my kids, so they see me going off to work and they know how hard I work, but then they also know that when I do spend time with them, it's good quality time and we get to go away to nice places and do nice things because I work hard.
Yeah, of course. It is being able to provide those lovely experiences. And I know, talking about that, I know that you and your gorgeous girls have just got back from a ski trip, haven't you?
We have. We've just got back from Switzerland. So it's the third time I've taken my eldest away skiing. She's 9. And it was the second time I'd taken my youngest away skiing, who is actually now 5, but she was 4 at the time. And they had a brilliant time. They loved it. You know, as a parent, you kind of want your kids to love the same things that you do. And with skiing, it was really important. I was like, I've got to get them into skiing, got to get them into it. And I'm so glad that they love it as much as me, to the point where actually I'm probably a bit more of a fair weather skier now because I'm older and I just like my creature comforts. Whereas they'll just be like, no, no, we want to go out. If it's raining, if it's like, you know, really having a big snow dump, they just want to, they want to go out and get involved, which is really good because, you know, I think that is really good family bonding time.
Lovely. And I just think anything where children and their families can all be out in nature and also exercising, like we all know now that you're not only the benefits on our bodies and flexibility and all that, but actually for like mental health, like it's just so good, isn't it, to be away from TV screens, from phones and digital experiences, to actually be out in nature. It's like so good for children and everybody, and it's really great for bonding and learning new skills. And you have to be brave.
Well, especially with two young children who are addicted to their screens as well. So it's like, right, we're not having any screen time on this trip. We're going to be outside getting fresh. And the really good thing is they're absolutely shattered at the end of the day as well. So it's like, yes, nice early night.
So they sleep really well, which is great for you. So at least you've got some chill out time. But I think it just teaches them so many skills. And you have to be really brave to ski, don't you? Because you do get used to, of course, falling over and like that resilience that you have to build up. I know children do just sort of tend to bounce, don't they? They fall over, they get back up again. But these are really good life skills that I think you can get when you go on these ski trips.
Yeah, they are really good life skills. And one of the things that my youngest, Indigo, said to me was on her last day of ski school, "Mommy, I fell over so many times today, but it didn't hurt." And I was like, well, that's one less time that you'll fall over then before you've nailed it. And she was like, and, you know, she loves it. And I think when they're small anyway, when they do fall over, they've got a sort of, you know, lower sense of gravity, haven't they? So they just kind of, you know, ping down and bounce back up again. Whereas when I go down a run fast and I stack it, that's when it hurts. That's why I always say everyone should wear a helmet because, you know, it is a dangerous sport. But I think if you're careful and not too crazy, then, you know, it's not too bad.
Yeah, you can absolutely enjoy it safely. And Gemma, I love to dive into the kind of childhood of all of our guests on the podcast. So did you grow up skiing then with your family?
I didn't actually go away with my family skiing ever until I was an adult. The first time I went skiing was with the school, and they'd sent out this, I was going to say email then, but email wasn't even a thing. It was like a little letter that you had to sort of sign the slip, the bottom of the slip. And it was, you know, does your child want to come on a ski trip? And my mum and dad, they didn't have much money when we were younger. In fact, they were separated at that point. And I was like, I really want to go. And I had a paper round at the time and I was 14. And they were like, well, if you want to go, you have to pay for it. So I saved up all my paper round money and I went. And it was, honestly, for me, it was life-changing because it was like, I think it was only the third time I'd ever been abroad, because we only went abroad twice when we were really young. And from that moment on, I was like, I'm going to ski every year. I didn't. I think the next time I skied after that was about 9 years later.
When you had time to save up again.
When I'd had time to save up. But it was pretty amazing. But yeah, it was, you know, we didn't have many holidays as a child. I think the first holiday we went to was this chateau in France. And we were about, I think I must have been about six, and I remember it just being haunted.
Oh, no.
And it was, yeah, it was like this. Well, anyway, I mean, I was talking to my dad about it this Christmas, and he was saying, do you remember that haunted chateau we stayed in France? And I was like, yes. You know, when you're younger and you think, did I just imagine that? But the fact that my dad remembered it as well, I was like, okay, right. Wasn't going mad. That did actually happen. So that was my first experience of being abroad, a haunted chateau.
Oh, wow. And luckily it didn't put you off for life. Did you have UK trips with your family instead of the sort of overseas? Did you ever do the whole sort of caravan or any of those sort of things?
No, not really. I did a lot more of those as I got older. But with my family, it would just be, we'd go to Bournemouth a lot. I mean, I'm from Dorset. I'm from the South Coast anyway. So we'd go to Bournemouth quite a bit and I'd stay with one of my nans, or we'd go to Poole and stay with my other nan. But caravan holidays, I was always actually quite jealous of the people that at school that went to Butlins, because I always thought that was like, oh, they're going to Butlins and I'm not going to Butlins, or like Pontins or Haven Holidays. And like, now we sort of look at those and we're like, oh, okay. But, you know, back at the time, it was just, that was like the coolest thing ever. It was like, they've got water slides in their theme parks. It was just like, but no, now, sorry, back then, I didn't really do a lot of it. It was only when I got into sort of my mid-teens and I, through circumstances, ended up living with my best friend and her parents, and they used to go to caravan parks, and so I started going on holiday with them, and it was really good fun. It was like, it was a bit like Phoenix Nights, which was just, you know, it was a really good laugh.
Yeah, I think some of the best kind of memories people tend to talk about on the travel podcast are those kind of like caravan sort of holidays. You just, there's something quite special about it, and I love the fact that they are the affordable trips, but yet they are the ones that are the most fun, and it just goes to show that travel and having a good time traveling so isn't budget dependent, because it's often these more affordable ones that give you those memories.
It's more about the people that you're with. But that's for any situation. Like, you can go to a really nice restaurant, but if you're not with, you know, somebody that's fun, or that you have, you know, good banter with or chemistry with, or it's not going to be fun. You're just going to sit there in silence. And that's the same with going away on holiday. It really doesn't matter where you go or what you can afford. If you're with good people, you just make the most out of it. It's just nice to have a change of scenery. And that doesn't really matter where it is, whether that's, you know, staying in a caravan in Wales or going to New Zealand on an amazing hiking trip. It doesn't really matter. They're all experiences, I think, to be absorbed and enjoyed.
I couldn't agree more. And what is it about skiing that you love so much? Like, how come you've got that bug?
When it's a really good day, and you've got the sun shining and you're at the top of that mountain and the snow has just been bashed down, it's like fresh, and you just do that first run, it's like, I think it's just like the biggest endorphin release for me. And the conditions in Switzerland weren't great this year, but I just remember still being at the top of that first, doing my first run and just going, ah, I'm back. Because it's so calming being on the top of a mountain, and actually it's quite quiet and it's quite meditative in a way, because you can't get your phone out. There's no distractions. You're just in that zone, skiing down the hill, but taking in those sights of, you know, being on the top of a mountain, which is just incredible.
Such a unique experience in itself, isn't it? To think that you get to actually be on top of a mountain and travel down it and be within nature. And interesting that you say what you love so much is that sort of disconnect from the hustle and bustle and the mobile phone and emails and everything. That's so rare to, because when you're on a lot of holidays, you can be on a sun lounger and it might be tempting to, I'll just do this work Zoom while I'm here, or...
Which is what I do.
I think so many of us are guilty of it. So I guess that big advantage of being on top of a mountain, like, you're not going to do a Zoom call up there. So the phone's like, you just got to concentrate on getting yourself down safely and in one piece. You can't have your phone out too much. So that's so nice. And what about all the kind of après ski side of it? Do you indulge in that as well?
I do, but I didn't on this particular trip because I had my kids. And so after ski school, they were just exhausted. So we would just go back, have some food, chill, get an early night. Because ski trips really are about getting an early night and getting up early. But if I'm not with the kids, then some après will be had. And, you know, we'll normally go and have some Glühweins. Actually, I was out there a couple of years ago and there was this... like peppermint schnapps which we were adding to hot chocolates. And it was just, oh God, it was so good. You don't want too many of those though. Because also if you're at high altitude as well, it can affect you a little bit. And, you know, where you might be able to have like 3 or 4 glasses of wine and just be a little bit tipsy. 2, when you're at high altitude and you're a little bit...
can like hit you, yeah.
Yeah. You've got to be careful and just remember that you're up high.
And do you enjoy the food on the ski trips? Is that because I've never skied, so I'm so
You never skied?
I'm so interested to find out more about it. And I think it is on the agenda this year to go for the first time and do some filming over there. And but that's why I'm like a sponge at the moment, because so many of my friends and colleagues are all massive skiers. And I'm interested to know, but a lot of them say to me, even if you were to go away, just say with a partner that skied and for whatever reason you couldn't ski or you didn't want to ski, it wasn't your thing, you don't have to be a skier to enjoy a ski trip because of all the other activities that you can indulge in. And they have told me a lot about the food being like a really, I mean, obviously every resort's going to vary, but it seems to be a common theme that like the food on these ski trips is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends where you go. So obviously we were in Switzerland on this recent trip and fondue is a big thing over there. And I love fondue. And again, that's a really lovely thing to do when you're in a group as well, because, you know, you've got fondue in the middle and you're all dipping your bits in there. And it's very sociable, and raclette and that kind of thing. I mean, it really depends on the resort, because the resort we were in it was actually quite a quiet non-touristy resort. We've been to Colorado a few times because my mum has a place out there, and we generally cooked ourselves in the apartment on those trips because it's so expensive. So we were just like trying to save money where we can, because that's the other thing. Skiing is like, it's not really a budget holiday. You can do it as much as possible on a budget, but the bare minimum is X amount of money, because you've got, if you're new to it, ski school, the hire of the boots, the skis. So really you want to try and like keep it down as much as possible. So we would do a lot of our own cooking, which was always nice, you know, and the sociable thing as well.
It is sociable and fun. And like you say, kind of cooking brings people together, doesn't it? So that's really nice. And it's lovely. I think I hate it if kind of budget is the thing that would stop anyone from having a great experience. And it's always nice to know that if you're a little bit more creative sometimes, you can still go on these lovely trips and maybe you're not getting the whole 5-star weighted on hand and foot experience, but it's still lovely in its own right. And you can still go.
Yeah, definitely. I just think it's about looking around and being a savvy shopper, really, looking for what the best deals are, because there are deals to be had, and there are ways, you know, you just got to look around. And sometimes a package deal isn't always the best way to do it. Sometimes you might just want to book your flights separately or your accommodation separately, and sometimes that can work out cheaper. It's just, you know, about being, or, you know, the transfer from the airport to the resort, you know, sometimes it might be cheaper to hire a car than it is to pay for, you know, if there's a family of 4 or 5 of you doing a transfer. It's just about looking for the best options for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where our team at Not Just Travel, of our consultants, can come in, because they can really build bespoke trips. And like you said, that is their job, to go out, do all the research, try and work within the budget that you've got. They're the experts, so they'd know that information. They'd know, well, actually, yeah, taxis here are really quite pricey. Hiring a car is great. So it's nice to draw on their experience as well. And when you go skiing, obviously you've just come back from Switzerland, is that your go-to, or do you always go to a different destination each time you ski?
No, I've bounced around a bit. Switzerland I've been to 4 or 5 times. Colorado I've been to quite a lot because my mum's got a place out there, although she's selling it. So I think last year was probably going to be my last trip there, and I didn't even know it at the time. But yeah, I will just go usually where there's good snow and where there's a good deal to be had. So I'm not particularly married to
But that's quite nice, though, because then if you're...
Discovery is good.
Yes, exactly. If you are driven by great prices, or like you say, obviously, where the snow is, you've got to be, haven't you? So that might actually lead you to new places that you hadn't thought of, because everything kind of aligns and then you end up somewhere new. And it's nice, I think, to have variety, isn't it?
Variety, always. Variety is the spice of life. So I think the more places you can go and experience, the better. But, you know, I like going to warm destinations, and I spend a lot of time in Ibiza. I think travel, it's an amazing luxury that we have the freedom to be able to do, whether that's nationally or internationally. We're so lucky that we're free to move around, and, you know, we should never take that for granted.
I agree. And on that note, obviously you talked about some of the UK destinations that you went to in your childhood, and you're from Dorset, obviously a beautiful part of the world. Have you got any favourite places for staycations in the UK that you like to go to now?
Do you know, I went to the Wye Valley in Wales back in October, and it's absolutely beautiful there. It's actually where they film part of Sex Education, you know, the Netflix TV show. And some of the houses are just kind of nestled into the cliffs, but in amongst trees. And there's these big rivers going through. And it's just beautiful. It's like a really stunning part of the world. And I was actually quite surprised, because I haven't been to Wales that much, but it was lovely. And we just stayed in this little tiny cabin in the middle of a field, and there was sheep everywhere, and it was just so calming and so peaceful, and what I needed in October after a really crazy summer last year. So that was lovely. But being a Dorset girl and going down there a lot to see family, you know, there's some gorgeous gems along, you know, the Dorset coast as well, all along. You know, you've got the Jurassic Coast there, and there's so many amazing walks you can do. Sandbanks has a Blue Flag Award beach, so it's one of the best beaches in the UK. It's just, you know, it's a really nice part of the world. I just didn't want to live there anymore. But now I like it when I go back. It's like, I think that's an age thing.
You've got the best of both worlds, that you can go back and see friends and family, and also appreciate it more. Because I do think when you live somewhere, you're so busy with the day to day. You're not there as a tourist. You're there as a resident. And it's kind of not the same, I don't think. So I think it's nice that you now appreciate how lovely it is, the fact that you now live there in my neck of the woods in Essex, that you...
Yeah. No, I'm there. I'm an honorary Essex girl now.
me too. And I'm not complaining. I think, again, talking about hidden gems, I think Essex's reputation is so inaccurate, because
it's so
green, and yeah, there are so many beautiful green spaces, woods, lakes, the coastal areas as well, beautiful little villages. I'm Essex's biggest fan, and it's such a big county that it varies so much. So we're Essex girls now, and flying the flag for come and visit Essex. But obviously we touched on your childhood holidays and memories, and obviously we know that you've got this passion for skiing, but how has your kind of holiday style changed since your childhood?
I try not to take my parents away with me now if I can avoid it. Although my dad does like to tag along on the occasional Ibiza trip. And I feel, yeah. No, he's good fun, actually. That sounds really mean, because he is good fun. And he's great at a festival as well, when I'm playing at a festival, because he's always the logistics guy that puts up the tents. It's always good to have someone like that in your crew. But yeah, no, Ibiza this year, we'll be doing that. Well, we have Discolicious parties there this year, which is exciting. But how's my travel style changed? Well, I think I'm just more of a savvy traveler than what I used to be when I was younger. I think when I was younger, I would just go to sort of like one of the big tour operators and just book one of their package deals. But now I try to look for something a little bit more bespoke, which is what you guys do, isn't it? Which is why I think It's good to, you know, have somebody on call that can listen to all of your individual needs and then come along and say, right, I've got this for you.
Yeah. And I think there is that massive movement now towards personalized kind of experiences, even personalized gifts. And I think that translates through to travel is that, as you say, yes, I mean, don't get me wrong, these packages can be fabulous and they can be exactly what some customers are looking for. But for those that want something tailored to them as an individual and a little bit special and kind of pieced together, I think that is where these unique experiences really happen. And that's where, again, like you say, travel consultants really do come in to their own, because they can help put that kind of build a package around your individual needs, expectations, and all those special little experiences that are really hard to find sort of on a generic website. They often, as you said, it's about piecing little bits together and doing things a bit differently, perhaps. And like you say, sometimes that can actually be money saving as well, because it might be that they think of a different way to transport you from the airport that's more affordable or more authentic. And you can just build up something that's really special and unique to you, rather than having the kind of one size fits all package offer. So that's interesting that that's what you really enjoy. And what is it about Ibiza that you love so much?
I lived out there for a couple of years in 2004 and 2005. So I always say that it's my spiritual home, because it just, it's very magnetizing. And I think from living out there for those 2 years, the only time I didn't go back was the year of the pandemic, when none of us could travel. So I've only ever missed 1 year of not going in those 20 years. And it's always been at least once a year. But sometimes, I mean, I remember the first year I didn't live there. So that was 2006. I went back 5 times over the summer because I just needed my fix. got kids now, so I can't do that as often. But I am sort of the fact that I'm DJing over there now in the summer just gives me, you know, a legit excuse to return.
And where did you live in Ibiza when you were a resident?
The very glamorous area of San Antonio, which was the place that was featured on Ibiza Uncovered. I think it's changed a lot since then. But yeah, that's the area that I lived in at that time. But when I go back now, I generally stay in Playa del Bossa or Figueretas or Ibiza Old Town.
Lovely.
They're my sort of go-to places
now.
Yeah,
and I think with Ibiza, again, we talk about kind of misconceptions with travel sometimes. I think there is this misconception with Ibiza that it's all about party scene. It's all about real youngsters, clubbers. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Of course, it's a fabulous destination when you're looking for that type of a holiday and when you are of an age where you enjoy the club scene, it's the place to go. But it's so diverse in that you can go to somewhere like Ibiza Old Town and have that more authentic experience and natural beauty and picturesque beaches and quiet beaches. You can just tailor the Ibiza experience, I genuinely think, to any age on any kind of holiday. You can just pick and choose what kind of holiday you want in Ibiza, and it's not what people think, is it?
No, it can be whatever you want it to be. You can go. I mean, there's so many retreats that they have in Ibiza now as well. So people actually go out there to, you know, have a full-on detox and do yoga and eat raw food, and you know, then there's the clubbing side, which isn't really just for the youngsters. I mean, there's lots of very old veteran clubbers that go out still as well. It really can be whatever you want it to be. Like if you want to go and do some snorkeling or find this nice little cove in the north of the island, or I mean, God, some of the restaurants there are incredible as well. So you could just go and have a gastro holiday if you wanted to and just make it all about the food. Or, you know, there's so much to see and do there, and there's so much beauty. And every time somebody sort of goes, oh, I beef on, you just think, you don't know.
I love it. And I also think, even though it is so well known and so popular, I personally think it is one of the more affordable destinations, because places like Mykonos, for example, which have become so trendy, the prices are just exorbitant now. And I mean, it is absolutely stunning. But I found over the years that Ibiza pricing, obviously, completely depends on where you go, where you stay, but stay quite consistent. I don't think that it's out of reach. They haven't priced Ibiza. That's what I really like about it.
Yeah, I mean, there are places that have totally outpriced people, but then they're trying to appeal to a different market, and that's probably more the sort of Americans coming over, that VIP kind of, you know, market, and it's all very bling. But yeah, like you say, that there are the sort of more rustic, authentic places that you can go to that, yeah, that have sort of stayed like attainable, I guess.
Affordable.
And also Mykonos is like, you know, four hour flight, isn't it? Whereas Ibiza's 2.5, so it's closer as well.
Yeah, great for those little mini breaks and weekends away as well. That's what's so nice. It's just, if you don't have the time and you want that quick kind of beautiful sunny fix, then Ibiza weekends and things like that, mini breaks are lovely as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm Ibiza's biggest fan. They need me to work for the tourist board, I think.
No, I agree. And I look back on all my Ibiza trips and I think, I've had holidays there with my sister. I've been with my best friend. I've been with, you know, romantic partners. I've been with my family. So I've actually had like so many different Ibiza trips with lots of different people, different, obviously, age groups, couple holidays, girly holidays. And I've never had a bad experience in Ibiza. So I will fly. I will fly.
There you go. We'll fly the Ibiza flag together.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got Ibiza coming up with Discolicious, and have you got any other holidays planned this year?
Not many holidays. So we've got Dublin coming up for a gig. We've got Ibiza coming up for a gig. And then I am looking at going to Colombia, hopefully in April, for a week. But it's not booked yet. So I can't say I'm definitely going there yet. But it's on my radar.
Yeah, that's interesting. And what is it about Colombia that really appeals to you?
I think, I'm going to be really honest, I think it's where I've watched so many TV dramas recently, like Narcos and Griselda. Yeah. And things like that. I'm just like, I want to go to Colombia. It looks amazing. But I think, you know, it's just a friend of mine's wife is actually from Colombia. And I messaged her the other day and I said, if I go to Colombia, where are the cool places to go? And she literally sent me an itinerary of where to go, how long to spend there. And she made it just sound really good. So I was like, oh, I kind of feel like it's a sign and I need to go. And I've always wanted to sort of travel around South America. I did Brazil last year. So I just think sort of same area-ish. A different country.
And it's interesting, I know you laughed, but actually I think Netflix and films and TV series massively inspire travel.
Hugely. I mean, if you see somewhere, I mean, I don't think I would have been so inspired to go to Wales had I not seen that beautiful house on Sixth Education and been like, wow, that's Wales. Like, you know, it does inspire you. And the places that you see in the movies, I actually remember going to James Bond, View to a Kill. It's one of my favourite films, very old school from the 80s. But there's this chateau that's on there. And I actually went driving through France a few years ago with an ex. And I said, I want to find the chateau that's in the film View to a Kill. And it's in this region that we were driving through, which is the Champagne region. And we found it. And I was like, that's a moment for me. And so that inspired that kind of whole driving trip. It massively influences, I think, where people want to go or where they feel inspired to travel to.
Yeah. I mean, I went to Skiathos after watching Mamma Mia, and it just beautiful. And just gorgeous right up my street, and that inspired that inspired a trip over there. So I think it happens more than people realize. And we were saying,
even subliminally,
exactly. And we were saying on a previous recent episode of the Travel Podcast, we were diving into Jamaica, and I said, having just watched the Bob Marley film, although I've been lucky enough I went there last year, it then re-inspired me to go back, because I thought, wow, there's so much more I haven't seen. There's so much history here. There's so much more music and the Bob Marley,
the culture, and
that I've only really scratched the surface. And like, now I've watched the film and I know more about his life and what happened, I was like, oh, actually, it really gives me that enthusiasm to go back and dive even deeper into.
Just booking trip number two to Jamaica.
That's what happens. We've just got to turn our screens off, because bank account is going down by the second with all this inspiration. But at the end of the day, I mean, as you said right at the start, when we were talking, we don't want to ever take for granted being able to have the freedom to travel. And I think when it was temporarily either taken away or restricted during the pandemic, I think all of us really then had that deep appreciation for it, because it had been taken away. And sometimes you don't know what you've got till it's gone, which is sad, but you can never truly, even if you're grateful and someone that practices gratitude and stuff, I think you'll never feel it on that level until something's taken away. And then you think, wow, I really recognize on such a deeper level just how lucky we all are when life, you know, is resuming normally, that we have got this absolute privilege to be able to travel around our own country and see the world. And sounds like you're making the most of it. So Gemma, it's just been so lovely to chat to you, and thank you for all your insight into your skiing trips and your places to visit in Ibiza. Before I let you go, I'd love for you to share with the audience where people can find out about you, and obviously if they're interested in coming to join you and Denise on one of your fabulous Disco-licious brunches. I mean, I cannot recommend it enough. I had the wonderful experience of joining you guys when you were in Chelmsford, and it was the most fabulous afternoon. It was so much fun.
They're good fun, aren't they? The brunches and the club nights. And if anyone wants to come, it's just discolicious.com. We just launched our website last week, so this is good timing. So yeah, it's just discolicious.com, or you can find me on socials at Gemma Bolt. But it's Gemma with a J.
Gemma with a J.
Not a Gemma.
Oh, well, Gem, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to chat to us on the Travel Podcast. Good luck with all of your Disco-licious events, and I hope you do end up booking that trip to Colombia as well.
Oh, thank you, babe. Lovely to see you.
Lovely to chat to you too. Thank you. And thank you so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like any help booking your next trip, if Gemma has inspired you and you want more information on any of the destinations that we've covered, then just contact your travel consultant. But if you're not in touch with a travel consultant already, head to the Not Just Travel website, type in your postcode, and we will allocate you your local travel consultant, who will be ready and waiting to give you all of their expert advice, top tips and guidance. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to rate, review and share this podcast. It really does help us, and I will see you next week.